Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily, everybody. We have got like three really interesting things that are happening in the cybersecurity world today that we're going to kind of unpack for you. So, think of this like your shortcut to understanding what's going on out there. You know, what really matters in the cyber world. And we're going to be looking at the evolving situation around your personal genetic data. Also a really smart security move from like one of the internet's like foundational players and the ongoing efforts to actually try to secure critical infrastructure. So yeah, ready to dive in?
Each of these stories gives us a different angle on the challenges we're facing, but also the progress that we're making to keep our digital and even like our biological information secure. I mean, it's this fascinating place where technology and personal privacy and even national security all kind of come together.
No, it's super interesting. And I think that, the first story that we wanted to talk about today is something that's been making a lot of waves. And it involves something that's like incredibly personal to all of us, our genetic information. The company 23andMe.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, a lot of people have, right? They've been offering direct-to-consumer DNA testing since like 2007. I mean, think about it. They've sold over 15 million kits.
That's a lot of kits.
Yeah, it's a ton of kits, right? And so, like, you send in a saliva sample and you get back like all this cool ancestry details and even, some insights into your genetic health, predispositions for certain conditions, that sort of thing. Well, they recently filed for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So initially they're saying that nothing's going to change with the way they store, manage, and protect your data. So that, at least on the surface, is reassuring, right?
Yeah, on the surface, that sounds good.
But you have to remember that when a company files for Chapter 11, it means that their assets could be up for sale.
That's true.
And when you start thinking about like what's one of their most valuable assets, it's this massive database
Ooh.
of highly sensitive genetic information from millions of people.
Millions of people.
I mean, it's a little unnerving, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's something that a lot of privacy experts are worried about.
For sure.
And, to add to that, the laws around data ownership in bankruptcy are still being figured out, which makes this whole situation even more kind of risky. 23andMe might be saying that it's business as usual, but what happens if a new buyer comes in and sees that data as something they can sell off?
Oh, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, it kind of changes the whole game, right? If the ownership changes and the way the data is viewed changes as well, it's not a good situation.
Not at all.
And because of this, there's actually been a consumer alert.
Really?
Yeah, from the Office of California's Attorney General. They're actually advising 23andMe customers to take some pretty specific actions to protect themselves.
So what are they saying? Like, what should people do?
Well, they're suggesting that people ask 23andMe to delete their data. They're also saying that you should ask them to destroy your physical saliva samples. And then you should revoke any consent that you might have given for your data to be used for research.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a 23andMe customer, this is definitely something to pay attention to, right?
Sure, for sure.
And the Attorney General's office has been pretty cool about this. They've actually put out a step-by-step guide on how to do this. So basically, you would log into your account,
Got it.
go to your settings, and there's usually a section like specifically for your data. And you can actually download a copy of your data if you want it. And then you just look for the delete data option. And then you just confirm that request through an email. All
right, so it's not too complicated.
No, not at all. It's really only a couple clicks. But considering how sensitive this genetic information is, I mean, it just seems like a really smart move for anyone who's like feeling a little bit uneasy about this whole situation.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not just a US thing either.
It's not.
No, the UK's Information Commissioner's Office, the ICO, they've also weighed in on this. Now, the ICO, they're the UK's independent authority that handles information rights and data privacy under GDPR,
GDPR.
the General Data Protection
All
Regulation.
right, I've heard of that.
I'm sure a lot of people have, right? Well, they've come out and said that genetic information is considered highly sensitive personal data. And companies that handle this kind of information have to stick to really strict security and governance standards under GDPR.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so the fact that the ICO is actively keeping an eye on this whole 23andMe thing just adds like another level of international oversight to the whole thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So it really underscores that, you know, data protection isn't just a local problem.
Right.
It's a global issue, especially when you're talking about something as fundamental as our DNA, right?
Absolutely.
And we also can't forget that 23andMe has had some data security problems in the past.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just last year in 2023, they had a pretty big data breach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it affected 6.4 million customers.
That's a lot of people.
It is, and that breach ended up costing them $30 million in a settlement.
Wow.
And reports said that attackers were able to get their hands on health reports and even raw genotype data
Oh.
over a 5-month period.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. And the way they did it was through something called credential stuffing.
Credential stuffing.
Yeah, basically attackers take usernames and passwords that have been leaked from other breaches.
Oh, so they're just like reusing them,
Yeah, exactly.
trying them on different websites.
Exactly. And unfortunately, a lot of people use the same password for multiple accounts. So it's a surprisingly effective tactic.
Yeah, wow.
So, you know, this really highlights how interconnected online security risks really are.
Yeah, for sure.
And it really kind of amplifies concerns about the security of this 23andMe data, you know, now that they're going through this whole bankruptcy thing.
Right.
It just makes you think, right? Like, it's a real example of the risks of sharing this kind of sensitive data with any third party, no matter how trustworthy they seem.
Definitely.
And then to make matters a little bit worse, after that breach, 23andMe changed their terms of use.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they made it harder for customers to sue them. Now, they claim that this is all about making arbitration easier.
Okay.
But, you know, it didn't exactly make people feel any better about how their data was being handled.
I bet.
So, you know, this whole situation raises a really important question for all of us.
What's that?
Like, given these potential ownership changes and
Right.
these past security issues, how much risk are you really comfortable with when it comes to sharing really personal information, like your DNA?
Yeah, it's a big question.
Even if a company promises to protect your data initially.
Yeah, you have to weigh the potential benefits of what you might learn
Right.
against the potential downsides. You
Yeah.
know, what could happen to your data in the future,
Absolutely.
especially with privacy and security.
For sure, for sure.
So, speaking of security, let's switch gears a bit
Okay.
and talk about something a little more proactive
Yeah.
in the digital world.
Right.
Cloudflare, a company that's like a major player in making sure the internet is fast and secure.
Yeah.
They've just announced that they're making a big change to how their API endpoints work.
Okay, so tell me about that.
Yeah, so they're blocking all unencrypted HTTP traffic,
Oh, interesting.
and they're only going to accept secure HTTPS connections for api.cloudflare.com.
Got it. And that's their like main API, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, from a security standpoint, this seems like a really good move.
Absolutely.
It's basically stopping any sensitive information from going out in plain text, even for like a split second
Yeah.
before it gets a chance to switch over to a secure connection.
Right. And Cloudflare actually pointed out that even those initial HTTP requests that
Yeah.
get rejected
Right.
could leak things like API keys or tokens
Oh, wow.
before the server even tells them to use HTTPS.
That's a good point.
And this is especially risky on public Wi-Fi.
Oh, for sure.
You know, where someone could be snooping on that unencrypted traffic,
Totally, yeah.
and that's like a man in the middle attack.
Yeah, classic man in the middle.
Right. So by completely turning off HTTP access at what's called the transport layer for their API,
Okay.
which is like the set of rules and protocols that let different software systems talk to each other,
Right.
they're basically making sure that HTTPS is used from the very beginning.
Got it.
So no unencrypted data gets exchanged at all.
That makes sense.
Now, this is great for security,
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
it could cause some headaches for developers who have like older systems that haven't been updated in a while. They might need to do a lot of work to make them compatible.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show that there's always this tension between making things secure and keeping them compatible with older technology.
Totally. It's a constant balancing act for
Right.
sure. And the Cloudflare API is, I mean, it's a pretty big deal, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Developers and system administrators use it for like a huge range of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, from managing DNS, which is like the internet's phone book,
Right.
to setting up firewalls and DDoS protection and even caching and SSL certificates that make websites secure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's used for all of that.
And even more complicated stuff like infrastructure deployment.
Right.
And zero trust security policy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really a control panel for a lot of the internet.
Absolutely. So this change is going to affect anyone who's been using HTTP to work with the Cloudflare API.
Yeah.
And that includes like scripts and bots and legacy systems.
Yeah.
Even some IoT devices.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those low-level clients that just don't support HTTPS or don't use it by default.
Right.
They're basically going to stop working.
Until they get updated, yeah.
Until they're updated to use HTTPS, exactly.
Exactly.
And it's interesting, Cloudflare's own data shows that, like, even now in 2025.
Yeah.
About 2.4% of all internet traffic that goes through their systems is still using HTTP.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and if you look at automated traffic specifically, it's even higher, almost 17%.
Wow, that's a lot more than I would have guessed.
Yeah, it is, right?
Huh.
And it just goes to show that, like, even though HTTPS has become the standard for browsing the web,
right,
there's still a lot of automated systems and older protocols that haven't fully made the switch to always-on encryption.
That's true, yeah.
Which is kind of scary when you think about it.
Yeah. Definitely.
So Cloudflare is doing something else that's pretty interesting.
What's that?
Later this year, they're going to release a free option.
Okay.
For people who own websites to disable HTTP traffic on their sites. And they're going to do it in a way that's safe and secure.
That's great.
Yeah. So it seems like they're really pushing for this to become a more secure standard across the whole internet.
Absolutely.
Which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
It raises an important question for all of us, though.
Yeah. What's that?
Are all the tools and systems that you rely on actually using secure communication protocols?
Yeah, good question.
I mean, Cloudflare is making a big statement with this.
Yeah.
They're saying that encryption should be the default.
Yeah.
Not just something extra that you can choose to have.
Absolutely. It should be the baseline.
For sure.
And, you know, by making it impossible to communicate without encryption through their API.
Right.
They're basically raising the bar for security for everyone who uses Cloudflare.
For sure.
Which is great.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So let's move on to our last story for today.
Okay.
This one involves the Federal Communications Commission, the SEC.
Okay.
And their ongoing efforts to fine companies that might be trying to get around the sanctions that are in place against certain Chinese telecommunications operators.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, this is this really kind of highlights those concerns around national security.
Yeah.
And, you know, those technology vendors that might have close ties to governments that some consider to be adversaries.
Right, yeah.
So the FCC has this list.
A list.
Yeah, it's called the covered list.
Okay.
And it's basically a list of companies that they've identified as potential national security threats.
Okay.
And it includes companies like Huawei,
oh, yeah,
ZTE, and China Telecom.
Right.
And the whole point of this list is to stop U.S.-based carriers and providers from using their equipment and services.
Yeah.
Because there's this worry that they could be used for spying or data collection.
Right. I've heard of those concerns.
Yeah. And FCC Chairman Brendan Carr, he's been very vocal about this.
Yeah.
He said that the big fear is that this equipment could have, like, hidden back doors.
Okay.
And data collection capabilities that could be used for espionage.
Right. So they're worried that these companies might be trying to get around the rules and still operate in the U.S.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, secretly or through some back channel.
Exactly. And it's really hard to prove, right?
Yeah. It's like, how do you catch them?
I know. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
They could be operating through, like, shell companies.
Right.
Or they could be subtly influencing smaller companies that seem totally unrelated.
Yeah. It's tricky.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
Uh-huh.
But the FCC isn't just sitting around. Mm. They've actually launched a full-on investigation.
Wow.
To try and identify these organizations that are potentially doing this.
Interesting.
And this has been going on since they announced their new Council on National Security earlier this month.
All right.
And it seems like a big focus for this council is to figure out if any U.S. companies are still using equipment or services from these banned vendors.
Right.
Because, yeah, that would be a pretty big national security risk.
Absolutely. And it sounds like Chairman Carr is serious about this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's said that they're committed to figuring out just how widespread this is,
right,
and then closing any loopholes that might let these, you know, untrustworthy actors get around the rules.
Yeah. No, they're definitely taking it seriously.
Which is good.
It is. It is. But it makes you wonder, right?
Yeah, what?
Like, these telecom companies, they operate all over the world.
Yeah, they do.
So how effective can the FCC really be in stopping them from operating in the
That's a
U.S.?
good point.
It seems like it would take a ton of international cooperation and intelligence sharing to really make a difference.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a complicated situation.
It is.
And one thing that I found interesting about this whole announcement
Yeah.
is that it's really focused on Chinese telecom companies,
Yeah.
but they haven't said anything about investigating the use of software from Kaspersky.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Kaspersky is that Russian security vendor.
Right, exactly. And they're also on the FCC's covered list.
Yeah, I remember them. They were sanctioned too, right?
Yeah, they were forced to pretty much stop operating in the U.S. because of espionage concerns.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
it's kind of curious that they're not mentioning Kaspersky in this.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be looking into that too.
Right.
Maybe they're focusing on the hardware and services first.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, because that's directly involved in our infrastructure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or maybe there are different rules for software companies.
It's possible, yeah.
It's definitely something to keep an eye on.
It is, for sure.
Yeah.
But this whole initiative with the FCC just really shows how tough it is to
Yes.
secure our national telecommunications infrastructure.
Right.
It's like it makes you think about all those hidden risks that could be lurking in our technology supply chains.
For sure.
And it's not just about knowing who your vendors are,
No.
but also understanding the whole geopolitical context.
Yeah, the bigger picture.
Exactly.
It's a multi-layered problem that needs a multi-layered approach. We need government oversight and regulation,
Right.
but companies also need to do their homework before they choose their technology partners.
Absolutely.
And they need to constantly be looking for new vulnerabilities.
For sure. Yeah, it's a never-ending job.
It is, it is.
So, there you have it. That's our deep dive for today on Cyber Mornings Daily.
Wow, that was a lot.
It was a lot, right?
Yeah.
We talked about the whole 23andMe bankruptcy situation and what it means for your genetic data.
I.
We talked about Cloudflare's smart move to boost API security,
Yeah.
and then the FCC's efforts to protect our telecommunications infrastructure.
Yeah, great stories.
Yeah, I thought they were all pretty interesting.
Really highlighted how complex this whole cyber landscape is.
Totally. And how things are always changing.
Right. And we need to be careful, both as individuals and as organizations.
Absolutely. Always be vigilant.
Yes, exactly.
So hopefully this gave you some food for thought to start your day.
Yeah.
Keep thinking critically about these issues.
That's the key.
It really is the key.
Yeah.
And before we go, I want to leave you with one last thought.
Okay.
You know, in a world where everything is connected, how do we get the benefits of all this amazing technology
Right.
while still protecting our privacy and our national security?
Yeah.
It's a tough question,
It
right?
is,
But
yeah.
it's one that we all need to keep thinking about.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, thanks for joining us today on Cyber Mornings Daily, and we'll catch you next time.
See you later.